So our theme for tonight is From Darkness to Light. And so I wanted to read from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. You might recognize that reading. It's one that we read during Christmas time, and it highlights for us the great gift that God has given to us, the gift of his only Son. And how amazing is our God? God is so great. He's outside of time and space, and yet he's with us here tonight in this gymnasium. I love to reflect on the fact that at the Last Supper, when Jesus first celebrated the Eucharist with his apostles, he had us in mind that night of the Last Supper. As he was consecrating that bread into his very body and blood for the first time, he could see into the future. He could see here tonight. And he knew that each and every one of you would be here. And that brought him great joy. It's one of the things that motivated him to consecrate that bread and wine into his body and blood, so that he could stay with us, so that he could be with his people for the rest of time and lead them to the Father's house, reconcile them with the Father. It's one of the things that really motivated him. So that gives us a glimpse into the heart of our God. It goes to show you just how great God's love is for us, how great his desire is to be with you, that he should choose to stay in such a humble state, in such an approachable manner. He's actually doing us a favor, if you think about it, by veiling himself underneath the sacramental signs. Because if we saw God in all of his glory, a little bit like this divine mercy image, imagine if that just came to life all of a sudden. We'd be blown away by his glory. If you remember when Jesus took his three best friends up Mount Tabor, John, James, and Peter, and he was transfigured before them, they were freaked out. You know, they were pretty scared. And God doesn't want us to be scared of him. Nobody here, including the youngest child, is afraid of this, what looks like a piece of bread. Nobody's afraid to approach the altar. Nobody's afraid, in a sense, to receive Holy Communion. And that's a gift. But it takes faith. And we have to pray for that. We just can't take it for granted, right? We have to ask God, I believe that you are present in the Blessed Sacrament. Please increase my faith. Help me to experience your love for me more personally, more deeply, more profoundly. God wants us to know that he is here for you. He is here for you. And he would have done this just for you. If you were the only one that would have believed in him, that would have followed him, he would have done it. That much he cares. That's how great his desire is to stay with us. And he told his apostles at the Last Supper, abide in me. Abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me. Well, in order to abide in him, we have to abide with him. And that's what we're all doing here tonight. We're abiding with the Lord, who is God with us. We were singing, O come, Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God is with us. And he is for us. He's not against us. I was listening to the papal preacher not too long ago, Father Raniero Cantalamessa. And he was reminding his listeners something so simple, so basic, and yet so easy to overlook or misunderstand. And he was basically saying, you know, you look at other world religions and they teach their followers that they have to do certain things in order to be saved or get to heaven or nirvana or paradise or whatever it might be. But the onus is on them, and the motivation is really more fear than love. Because if you don't do this and you don't do that, well, then you're not going to get there. Now, maybe some of you were taught Christianity that way. But as the papal preacher pointed out, that is not what we believe fundamentally. That is not what we preach. That was not the good news that Peter, James, and John preached. What did they preach? God did something for us. We believe that God sent his only begotten Son so that we might be saved through him. So that it's not about what we do or don't do necessarily, but it's what God has already done for us. And that we accept it in faith. He reveals himself to us. He gives himself to us. And our response is faith. The catechism mentions that. Faith is our response to what God reveals, what he shows, what he does for us. So God's always taking the initiative. We wouldn't be here if God hadn't taken the initiative. He didn't have to create us. He wanted to create us out of love. He wanted to share his life with us. He didn't have to do that. And he certainly didn't have to save us. But he didn't want to just write us off and forget about us. Because we're his children. How could he forget his children? As he says in another place in Isaiah, can a mother forget the child of her womb? Well, even if she should forget, I will never forget you. I will never forget you. I love you and you are mine. That's what he says. And before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. That goes for all of us, not just Father Jason. And so faith is our response. And it's something that's really been on my heart lately, the importance of making acts of faith. What's an act of faith? Or I believe you are really and truly present here in the Blessed Sacrament. Lord, I believe that you love me. Lord, I believe that you really care about me. Lord, I believe that I can depend on you. So on and so forth. Those are acts of faith. And when you make that act of faith, the Holy Spirit will attest, will confirm with your spirit that it's true. Romans 8:16. Paul writes about this. When we cry out, Abba, Father, he says, the Spirit attests with our spirit that yes, in fact, we are children of God. So when we make acts of faith, when we make those kinds of declarations, proclamations in a spirit of prayer, when they're true, the Holy Spirit will touch your spirit and will help you come to experience that truth in a more personal way, in a more profound way. Because I know we all know a lot of things up here intellectually, but sometimes we don't experience those truths that we know and assent to intellectually in a more heartfelt, personal, profound way. So then it's kind of like a pseudo-belief. A pseudo-belief, meaning, yeah, kind of, sort of, I guess, whatever. So when push comes to shove, you really don't believe. You're not convinced. But I'm telling you, you keep making acts of faith like the ones I just did, and your faith will grow more and more, little by little. And it's not just faith in God's existence, but it's faith and it's trust, like the motto of Divine Mercy, in his personal knowledge and love for you. So God knows where you're at. God knows where we're all at, not just, you know, in our seats here tonight. But he knows the state of your soul. God knows every single thought we think. When you're hungry, when you're thirsty, when you're tired, when you're angry, when you're sad, when you're scared, when you're happy, when you're inspired, when you're confused, when you're depressed, God knows it. God knows it. And he wants to communicate truth and blessing and inspiration to us all the time. We just have to cultivate that awareness. Certainly the decoration here tonight, the beauty of this place, the beauty of the songs, the solemnness of this place, it increases our awareness, doesn't it? For those of you who have been in this gym before, you've never seen it like this before. So you step into the gym, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, something's happening here. And so your awareness is heightened immediately when you come into this place. That helps. But somehow, some way, we all have to find a way to increase our own awareness in our daily lives. So that's something to think about. It's something to ask yourself right here, right now, and to ask God for help tonight. Lord, how can I increase my awareness of your presence in my life? When I'm driving to work, when I'm at my desk or whatever I do, when I'm at the sink or the dishwasher or out in the yard, or as I'm laying down for the night, as I wake up in the morning, Lord, help me to know different ways that I can increase my awareness of your presence. Because he's not only here, I mean, he's here in a very special way, in a really, truly substantial way. We believe that. But we also believe that each and every one of us is a temple of God, a temple of the Holy Spirit. So God is with each and every one of us in spirit and in power, in glory, in wisdom. God is with you. And the more you cultivate an awareness of his presence, the more peace, the more joy, the more wisdom and strength and calm you'll have. You'll be more graceful. I'm sure we all know very graceful people in our lives, people who cultivate the presence of God, who can walk through a storm as if nothing was happening because they had that confidence in the presence of God and in his power. That's a grace that we have to ask for. But if we ask, you can be sure God's going to give it. So Lord, I ask on behalf of everybody here tonight, please show us those ways that we can cultivate a greater awareness of your presence in our daily lives, so as to experience your love and your mercy, your peace, your joy, your rest in a more profound way that will transform our hearts, that will transform our families, that will transform our school, our parish, our towns, our state, our country, our world. As we move from darkness to light, we are changed. As we step out into the light, as we go out and respond to the Lord in faith, because faith is like a light, let's face it. That's the analogy that we can make tonight with tonight's theme and with our lives. When we exercise faith, we're turning on the light. And we're able to see things that other people can't see, that maybe we can't even see with the naked eye, as we say. But our faith tells us that something's going on, something deeper, something more profound is happening. And that's a gift. Again, we got to ask for it, got to cultivate it. But the more you do that, the more you'll see. When John and another disciple of John the Baptist first were laying eyes on Jesus and they started following him, Jesus turned around and said, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Master, where are you staying?" Because they wanted to stay with Jesus. They were attracted to him. Jesus says, "Come and you will become one who sees." What was Jesus saying? Come and you will become men of faith. Come and you will become men of faith. You will come to know me for who I really am. Boy, oh boy, Lord, help us to know you as you really are. Lord. Did you catch those titles that Isaiah gave to Jesus in that reading tonight? Check this out. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Lord, that's how we want to know you. Help us, Lord, to know you in that way. Because as you get to know him in that way, more and more, you can face anything. You can face anyone. You can face your own fears. You can face your past. You can face the present. And you can face the future. Full of hope. Full of hopes. You see that? How it's all related, right? Faith leads to hope, which then naturally leads to love. Or you might say supernaturally leads to love. God is love. That's what he wants us to come to know and experience. But it's not a wishy-washy kind of love, is it? We have the cross here. We have Jesus crucified, his mother at the foot of the cross. The Immaculate Conception, but also Our Lady, our Mother of Sorrows. You see, they didn't consider that shameful. Jesus didn't consider going to the cross out of love for you shameful. He didn't regret it. He doesn't regret it today either. But he wants to communicate to you the grace, the power, and the presence of that sacrifice. And that's faith. That takes faith to enter into this mystery of God's love for us. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. We feel the effects of sin each and every day. Our own sin, other people's sin, the dishonesty, the corruption, the laziness, the drunkenness, you name it, right? The hopelessness, the despair. What does that come from? A lack of faith, a lack of hope. But yeah, it does take a little effort on our part. It takes that faith. But once we enter into that life of faith and become men and women of faith, life changes. And the Lord wants all of you to know that you're eligible. You're all eligible for this life of faith. Nobody here has been disqualified, okay? Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how many times you've sinned or not. Nobody here is disqualified. You're all eligible. You're all called to become all that he created you to be. Do you remember the very first thing that God said in the Bible? I know some of you know. Let there be light. Whoa. So you could almost say that the Father was saying, let there be faith. Let there be faith in me. Jesus is the light of the world. And he called us to be light, salt and light. So let's ask the Lord again tonight for an increase of faith. Not only in his presence, not only in his goodness, but also faith in what he has called you to be. It's another great little act of faith. Lord, I believe that I am very good because you said so. Not because of what I do, not because of what I have, not because of what my neighbor thinks about me, but because you said so. I am very good because God said so. So I am lovable. I'm valuable. Not because of what I've done or what I do, but because of what he has done for me. And Mary got that. The Immaculate Conception. She got that. And her song of praise, what we call the Magnificat, she acknowledges, the Almighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. All of you can say that. If you're in this gym here tonight, we can all say that. The Almighty has done great things for you and for me. And holy is his name. Lord, I don't know what you've got planned for me, but I want to know. I want to know. please help me to become a man, a woman of faith, and to believe that what you have promised me will be fulfilled. That's how Elizabeth greeted Mary when Mary went to go and help her out. Blessed is she who believed that what was promised to her by the Lord would be fulfilled. God has made a promise to you. His promise is to never leave you. I will never leave you. I'll never leave you alone. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, I'll never leave you alone. Turn to me. Come to me, he said. All you who are burdened, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I know many of you need rest. So let's open our hearts and our minds tonight to all that God wants to give us, to all that he wants to do for us, to all the ways that he wants to reveal himself to us. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have 10 minutes of silence now. Don't feel impelled to kneel. It's okay. I mean, if you can, fine, but you don't have to. I know it's not real convenient here tonight to kneel. You kneel in your hearts. You prostrate yourself right here in your own mind. And that way we can all fit. So you can close your eyes and you can just prostrate. That means to just lay down, face to the ground, arms spread out. You just prostrate yourself right here, offering yourself to God, begging God to bless you and to show his face to you more and more each and every day, and to help you to become light.